Open up to Luke chapter 10. You can put a marker. You might get over to John chapter 12, I think it is. We're going to talk today about another one of the face-to-face documents, and this is one that I'm kind of eager to share with you because this is one of the shortest ones that I had during that time of face-to-face communications. It's actually less than a page long. Now, my comments are more than that because of the things I learned later. This is one of the biggest traps you'll find. If you don't catch this one, it's easy to, not that you'll really lose a decade. I mean, you'll do a lot of things for the Lord, you know. You can't even give a cup of cold water in His name and lose your reward for it. But I'm telling you, you can pretty easily be busy and spin your wheels and look back over a 10-year period and go, you know, I should be more changed than I am. I should be further along. I mean, there were prophecies, there were words, and the Lord said things to me. But when I look back, I haven't possessed much of that land. So this is an important one, even though it's fairly small. And the title I put on this one at the time, and again, this was in September of 1998, and I put a title on this one called Handling the Carnal Things. Now, we're just talking about handling the day-to-day stuff you got to handle. Whether it's in your family, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your ministry. There's stuff to do. Have you noticed? You still got to get stuff done. See, you know, there's many kinds of people, but two categories. I tend to fall over in the workaholic camp, okay? I'm happiest when I have a two-year project that's going to last me from dawn till 10 o'clock at night. Man, I'm happy. I mean, I got something to do. I'm busy on the computer or whatever it is that I'm supposed to get done. I like that, see? That's why this message was very difficult for me to break into it, you know, to just sit there, epoxy your britches in a chair. Just pray in other tongues. And then the other instructions I would get along the way, you know, that like one of the early ones was take those three verses because he was trying to break a stronghold in me, a kind of a poverty mentality, and to take three verses and just do nothing but say them out loud for 4 hours when I had tons of things that needed to be done. It's amazing. See, I'm not really a person that cares a whole lot about mowing the lawn and gardening and that kind of stuff. I mean, to me, you know, lawn maintenance is my idea of having nothing to do, okay? It's not. Now, a lot of people really enjoy that stuff. I'm just not one of those, you know. But it's amazing. You start sitting there, I want to pray for, pick a number, 2 hours in other tongues. I'm just going to pray and just listen, just going to pray. And you get started and you had good intentions. And boy, the time, I mean, something happens with the rotation of the earth. It slows down, you know. You think, okay, I was going to pray for 2 hours. Surely 1 hour has gone by, you know. 5 minutes, oh God. Then all of a sudden, which never at any other time does this happen, I think about my lawn really needs to be mowed, you know. Or whatever it is. I mean, things that normally wouldn't take a high priority because it gives the flesh something to do. Something that, I hate to say it this way, something that your mind says is productive. Mm-hmm. I got a few people in here that know what I'm talking about. So let me read this first part to you here. We'll stop and get into Luke for a minute. So he said to me, Holy Spirit, I know you know this, but some people, this may be the first time they picked up a tape in this series. I was doing Dave's message, the two-tape message called Distinguishing God's Voice. And just doing what's on there, I'm not going to teach what's on there, but I was practicing that, learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as I was doing that, then I began to hear Him say this. It says, has not the Lamb spoken to you Himself, saying, quote, handle the carnal things quickly, for these are not the things involved in your transformation. Did you hear that? He says, you have been given intelligence, knowledge, wisdom, talents, and abilities to handle the carnal things. It is not necessary that you wait to hear the voice of the Spirit regarding such things as when to change the oil in your vehicles, when to bathe, and when to wash your clothes. He has given you intelligence and knowledge for matters such as these. Now see, that's real basic. Do you know that in the Old Covenant, part of the instructions under the Levitical law, he had to tell Israel, how do I handle this in church? What to do with their waste material? To Lily, I would say, how to handle a poopy? He gave them instructions, literally, for hygiene's sake and to keep disease out of the camp. He gave them instructions. I mean, so it's like, I mean, even if it comes to something that basic, if you don't know what to do, he will help you. But normally, I'm always reminded of that, quote, prophet that stayed with at Pastor Dave's house in Rosalie, you know, years ago. And this guy was so, he says, I am so lit. Now, he's staying at their house, okay? He's going to stay at their house for a few days, whoever he was. He says, I'm so led of the Spirit. I don't even wash my clothes until I hear instructions from God to do it. Rosalie says, well, I don't want to come against your leadership of the Spirit, but as long as you're sleeping in one of my beds, you will wash your clothes when I tell you to wash your clothes. Hallelujah. See, you know, people, you tend to fall in two camps. I said earlier, I tend to fall in the workaholic camp, you know. The other side is, well, you know, I'm just not going to do anything until, you know, I'm not going to change the oil in my car. I'm not going to change the oil in my car until the Spirit tells me. No, you change your oil every 3,000 to 4,000 miles, okay? If it's an American-made car, I don't know about the others. I had a friend once who said, he said, well, how do you know when to change your oil in your car? I said, well, the light will come on and tell you. No, I said, when that light comes on, it's time to buy a new car. You already ruined the engine, probably. To run out of oil. Okay. Handle the carnal things quickly. But see, you can get overbalanced either way, and he's trying not to get us overbalanced either way. We're supposed to be if anyone is supposed to be responsible and handle the things that need to be handled and walk uprightly in front of the world, it's us. But we're not supposed to devote our whole life to those things. That's what I have to watch. I have to be careful that I don't get too heavily involved. I'm a hands-on kind of guy, you know, that even in the ministry, you can be too much that way. So he's trying to do a balance. He said, now look, you got to handle these things, Gary. You know, here I had this ugly building. This was in 1998. Oh, boy, I wanted to, man, I am a believer in this message. Have y'all figured that out yet? So I'm thinking, okay, I just need to pray. I don't need to think about my car. I don't need to think about my lawn. And he's going, yes, you do. I'm not calling you to be a monk. To go off on a mountaintop somewhere, you know. I'm not calling you to that. You know, monks, they wind up, what is the commandment? Go ye and teach or preach. Go ye and preach. So the devil gets people convinced, well-meaning people, to go isolate themselves on a mountaintop somewhere and take a vow of silence. Religion will make you stupid. Now, I'm just telling you, religion will make you stupid with good intentions. Those people have good intentions. Okay? All right. Okay. I'm starting to meddle now, so we'll go back here. Before we go on, I think he's wanting me to go ahead and read this here about Mary and Martha. You probably heard this the first time in Sunday school, but this is the best illustration that I can think of in the Bible about these two camps. Both are necessary, but you can get overbalanced on either one. Mostly what we're talking about today, you get overbalanced handling the carnal things, and 10 years will go by with very little transformation. So here in Luke 10, verse 38, it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now stop for a moment. I know that this is before the cross and this is before they could pray in other tongues. And she is literally sitting at Jesus' feet being taught personally from him. I used to be so jealous of that. Until he got it across to me. What do you think's happening when you're sitting there praying in other tongues? You are sitting there. You have been assigned a personal mentor from heaven. It's as though the Holy Spirit, because he's infinite, it's like he has no other students anywhere in the universe. You are his full-time occupation just to teach you. And as you sit there and meditate the word and pray in other tongues, it is just exactly as though you were sitting at the feet of Jesus being taught his word. Okay? But Martha, you could say Gary, and maybe you, was cumbered about much serving. And see, that's a good heart, isn't it? Servant's heart. I want to serve. I want to serve the Lord. And I want to serve people. It's not that her heart is wrong. I mean, it's good. We're all trying to develop more of a servant's heart, aren't we? She wasn't out trying to build her own empire or anything. She had a servant's heart. This is what he was trying to warn me against in ministry. Yes, sir. In the early days, I thought it was a great idea because I had a servant's heart. When we started the website, I had my personal email address there. I thought, I'm going to serve. Help you. I had a heart to serve, wanted to help. That was okay in the beginning. You know, when two people were visiting the website. But, you know, once we started reaching, when I took it off, at that point we had about 8,000 people on the mailing, 8,000 addresses on the mailing list, and I don't know how many people that was. I could spend the rest of my life, I could do it today, I could easily get involved in answering every single little email request I get, because, and I don't mean to be harsh, but there are people, it would be their full-time occupation asking me questions rather than listening to the answers I've already provided free at the website and the teachings. Everything I know is already there for free. But, oh, that takes too much time. I just want to ask you directly. No. We already have it there free, so it won't take you 20 years to learn I've learned, or 25, however long it's been. It's there already for you, free. But listen, if I got involved trying to answer every email, and I could do it easily with a heart, I had to take it off. It was hard for me to do. But I couldn't do both. I couldn't serve that way and have any time left to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn his word by praying in the Holy Ghost and meditating. You got it? All right. So Martha had a good heart. See, and this is the trap that the devil, I'm telling you, it's not just that one thing. There's been many things like that. You have to be careful, because if you've really got a heart to serve, and that's exactly what he's developing in you, is a heart to serve people. You want to help people. Martha wanted to serve. But you'll wind up getting so involved with serving, you don't have any time yet left to sit at the Master's feet. Well, now you're talking stagnation. How you are is how you'll be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. That's why he was warning me. Handle the carnal things quickly. Just get it over with, because these are not the things that are involved in your transformation. And the Holy Spirit is totally committed to conforming us to the image of Christ. Well, so verse 40 again, verse 39, Mary, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come and help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Did you hear that? How many things? One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Well, so you can see more of the fruit of this going over to John chapter 12, verse 1. In fact, we'll stop off for a visit at chapter 11, verse 1. I just want you to see something. It says, Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now notice in parentheses here it says, It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Notice how that's in parentheses. The reason why is it hasn't happened yet. You'll come on down here to chapter 12 and you see where that happens. Verse 1. So then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So this is after the resurrection of Lazarus, okay? This is afterwards. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now notice what Mary does. But in any event, I want you to notice the effect it had on Mary, what she considered important. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You can't spend time at the feet of Jesus without him becoming all. He becomes all that you need. He becomes everything to you. Her time spent at his feet, the end result was the outpouring of her worship, her love, her adoring of the Master. That's what happens to you too. Your life becomes less and less of you, more and more of him. And that's really what this gospel is all about. Christ manifested in mortal flesh once more, this time through his body, the church. It's not going to happen without sitting at the feet of Jesus. I noticed Martha didn't do the same thing. Martha wasn't in her heart. She still had a heart to serve. Notice she's still serving. But Mary has gone from hearing to worship. Hallelujah. I don't want to step on too many toes. I think you can get overbalanced. I know I have met people, all they want to do is stay on the mountaintop, you know. And sometimes there's, you know how to change the oil when the light comes on. He is calling us to both, to be responsible people who handle the carnal things quickly. Because we know our life on this planet, like James said, our life is like a little vapor. It's like a little puff of smoke compared to eternity. You don't want to spend your life majoring on carnal stuff that has to be done. What matters is the eternal work, the things that Christ can do through us during our time on earth here. Well, that's going to take time with him. It's just that simple. So there is a balance. I don't want to become one of those that becomes irresponsible. And, my word, I was raised, my word is my bond. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I am going to do my best to do that on time. When I said I was going to do it, how I said I was going to do it, I try to be like that. But I can't be overbalanced in that because I've got to also sit at the feet of Jesus. I've got to spend time pouring out my oil. I got to spend my time there. Not gotta. Time with him just results in that. You pour out your life to him. That's what that's a type of. Well, let me continue here with these things. He says, the next paragraph he said to me that day. He said, It is true that as your mind becomes more in tune with the mind of the Spirit who created all material things by the power resident within myself, that your intelligence will increase as well as your spiritual understanding. Were you to take what the world calls an IQ test today and then take one a year from now, you would find that your intelligence has increased, even as your spiritual understanding has increased, says the Lord. I kind of wish I'd have taken one and then taken another one later. I think I'm smarter now. after all these years? I think so. But I just know what he said. But anyway, so he said, "The Spirit who made all material things understands and comprehends the nature of all material things. And as you understand my mind, you will more and more understand how to handle the carnal things. Now, this does not contradict my counsel to you when I said that you should learn, that you would learn to seek my counsel, even in the most minute detail, for is that not what you're doing now? I am giving you my counsel regarding the carnal things. Handle them, and handle them quickly." He says, "I do have much wisdom and specific instructions to give you regarding administration." Now, this is where the real rub is. The problem was not with changing the oil in my car. Okay? The problem was spending too much time hands-on with the things in the ministry. I've told you before, I was not taught to delegate. I was not raised to delegate. I was raised to do it all myself. I've tried to tell you certain mottos that my dad said, but certain things from the construction world just can't be spoken in church. But he got it across to you he did say this. He said, "I wish there was some way for me to do this work, just me and a machine." And the reason he was saying that, he didn't want to trust anybody else. They didn't do it right. "I want to be able to do it all, just me and some machine," you know. Well, he never did find out a way to do that. He had to have other people. Well, trouble is, I grew up there, and I grew up in that mindset. So, you know, I've had a hard time delegating. Well, you can do it all up to a certain point. But you're going to get to the place, if God keeps increasing what you do for Him, He's going to need to multiply you. You're going to have to learn to let go of some stuff and trust people to do some things. Okay? And he has to give you wisdom to do that. Well, that's what he's talking about. Because I tended, and I still tend, it's something I have to fight all the time. I tend to, it's not going and mowing the lawn that draws me away from prayer. It's going and answering one of your emails. Because some of you still sneak in there. Ask me something that's got nothing to do with what the Lord's talking to me about, and it takes me 30 minutes. You know? And I haven't yet, you know, got real rude with anybody. But I may have to change my email address again. I don't want to do that. And that's just one thing. I could pick at letters. And that's why we do work, and now we pray for God's mind on these things, because it's like Tim says, when, you know, Tim amazes me with the wisdom God's given him. He says, you know, there's really only about three or four ways you can answer the question, should I get an abortion? There's only about three or four circumstances there. And he says, you know, we need to capture that wisdom that's been spoken by Dave or spoken through by me or so whoever in the body of Christ that's really God's mind. We need to capsulate it. Is that a word? Capsule, you know, you see, and then be able to give it to them, either in a written letter, in an email. You should be able to almost copy and paste, you know. Now, we're not trying to be unpersonal. We're trying to use God's wisdom with the time that we have. All of us have 24 hours a day, no more. Okay, we have different number of years we live on the planet. But let's say it this way, our life is like a little, it's like that little vapor. Well, there's only three or four ways to answer that, you know what I'm saying, depending on the circumstances. That's just one of 1,000 examples you can give. What about, do you think it's, I don't know how many times I've gotten this question over the years. Gary, do you really think it's the Lord's will that I should speak in other tongues? You know what, there's a couple of ways you could word that. The main answer is yes, it is His will, but, you know, and they've always got a few. You understand what I'm getting at? Rather than having to sit down and answer that same question 500 times in the next 10 years, we should have it, you know, and that's what encapsulated where we can give it, either in an audio. These are the things that are coming, hopefully, at daveroberson.org and garycarpenter.org, and this is what we're hoping is coming, is to be able to give more of God's wisdom. Okay, you understand the point. Now, see, the same thing applies. Okay, you're not in, I'm speaking as a minister, okay? Same thing applies, I don't care who you are. If you're not careful, Yes, sir. What is that? We used to have this principle in management. I can't remember it now. It's been too long. But in the business world, I'm telling you right now, your things to do will expand to the level of time you have available. I forget what that principle's called. But anyway, it's so common. You know, I have five things to do. Well, if you have 10 minutes, it's amazing. You're going to accomplish enough of that to get by. But if you have 5 hours, it'll take you 5 hours to do those same five things. See? And it's a whole lot easier to get involved in doing carnal things that seem productive because you can see physical results in the natural. It's so easy to get involved in doing that stuff. Where day go, you know, day, at first it's just today. Well, it's just, I'll do it tomorrow. Remember that devil of same old I tell you about all the time? I'm going to pray more. I'm going to start next week. Well, next month. Don't ask me how many years I did that about fasting. Okay. He says, I do have much wisdom and specific instructions to give you regarding administration and many other such matters. But these will come line upon line and precept upon precept as they are needed. And as your mind is developed to think according to the Spirit and not after man's ways, says the Spirit of grace. In addition, now, your heart must become more fully developed to trust the Spirit of the living God in order to obey without question instruction that would seem bizarre to man's wisdom. I'm going to read that again. You just don't know. I'm going to give you some 10 years here now. Let's hopefully save you 10 years. He says, your heart must become more fully developed to trust the Spirit of the living God in order to obey without question instruction that would seem bizarre to man's wisdom. From the Bible, let's take this one. Do you think it bizarre to a human for the Spirit of the living God to say, well, step out on that water and walk across to the other side? You got to admit now. Who was that friend of Pastor Dave's? They were another minister. They were doing a meeting somewhere together, I think. And this guy was all, now he, you know, he gets dressed up in a suit to do his meeting. So he's all ready for the meeting. He's leaving the motel room and headed out to go to the meeting. And there's a swimming pool. And he's been building himself up on his most holy faith. He's got his Bible tucked under his arm. And he's all ready for the meeting in his suit and his shiny shoes and ready to go. And he's coming by that swimming pool and he's going, I think I'll take it on. Tries to walk across that water, goes to the bottom, calls from his room, sing an extra 30 minutes. It's going to take me 30 minutes longer to get there. I got to change, okay? See, those instructions normally seem bizarre, don't they? You start really hearing from God, and you're going to enter into this school that Jimmy Miller and I have started. The name of the school is called God, You Said What? You Said What? I'll tell you right now, God has never yet asked me to do anything I could afford. He talks to me like I'm rich. He says, I want you to do this. And I go, have you looked at our bank account? You're acting like we own everything. He goes, you do. We act like we have all this abundance. He says, well, you have. But one of the instructions he gave me recently, well, we can go back to the very beginning. I mean, back when I never heard of anybody that was giving away their tapes free. I'd say, I told you before. At that moment, money was staying away from Sue and I in great abundance. And so as we're, you know, he said, start this little Bible study. I hate to tell you this, but you know it's normal. I'm thinking, meetings. People take up offerings at meetings. Maybe this is the way. I mean, I don't know. We got to eat somehow. You know, one of the bizarre instructions. Oh, take up no offerings from these people at all. Okay. Then he says, I want you to start recording, making cassette tapes of every service. My little carnal mind goes, aha. Everybody sells cassette tapes. This must be his plan. Fine. Okay, good. We'll we'll make the cassettes and make copies, and then we'll sell them, you know. And I'm already calculating how many people are coming, how many cassettes. You see, they sell them at the, you know, some, little computers just whirring up there until I pray again. Oh, don't just give all the cassettes away free. Don't sell anything. In fact, I got in my, and again, he doesn't give the same instruction to everybody. I don't even try and tell everybody to do that. I'm telling you what he told me. Yeah, I expect you to do what he tells you. But I'm telling you, they seem bizarre and unfair. You know, how does Dave say that? My lip starts interfering with the gas pedal when I'm driving. Everybody else, Benny Hinn, gets to sell everything. You don't get to sell nothing. Don't sell nothing. Well, you know, so how that went, we, for years and years, we did that. So then, we start putting everything on the internet, and then we start putting all the messages, you know, on a single DVD. And that was mainly for people that live in other countries who have slow internet. You know, if you got in South Africa, when I checked this at one point, I had a friend download one of my free messages. It took him 45 minutes to download one because all they have is old dial-up, you know, and old copper lines. Plus, there is no such thing as a free telephone call there. There's a line charge anytime you're using it. So it cost him almost $10 and 45 minutes to download one of my free messages. Well, God had an answer. He said, well, just put them all on a DVD and send that to them. They won't have to download anything because they've got a computer. It's the internet was the problem. See? Well, now here's the thing, though. Because we had already been operating for years by sending the cassette tapes free. But, you know, it's one thing if you send 6 tapes and a month, and then the next month they get 3 tapes, and the next month they get 6 tapes, and they're, you know, they're getting these nice things. I'd seen how God was operating this. At least it would be an opportunity if they get that in the mail to think, gee, these are nice. It must cost money. Maybe we should help. But, you know, even my lightning quick mind figured out right away. Now let's see now. If we send everything that we have, one time, 400 messages on a 30-cent piece of plastic, one time, God? Question. Isn't this going to drastically affect the finances of the ministry? The answer was, and the finances became your responsibility when? When did I turn that over to you? When? Oh, yes, Lord, okay. Even Pastor Jinho over in Korea, you know, he's very sharp. When I told him what my plans were back when we were in the beginning stages of that, he says, now, Gary, isn't that going to really reduce the income? I said, probably. Looks to me like it will. All I know is what he said. See, now I've learned to do this over these years, learning to trust in bizarre instructions. Now, I'll just finish the story. Yes, exactly what we thought would happen did happen. When it comes to your average person, what I mean is people that normally would receive those cassettes in the mail in the USA or around the world, once they got that DVD, for many of them, that was it. You know, you don't ever hear from the giving dropped way off. But see, in the beginning, God had told me, if I will obey what he tells me to do, he said he would speak to the hearts of the people he chose to support the ministry. So he started doing it a different way. Up until that period of time, the ministry had mainly been supported by very small gifts. $25, $15, $50, $100 was a big gift. We have some people, we have a few that are very regular and large givers, you know, $500 or $1,000, but they're far and few between, okay? Up until that time, most of it, the vast bulk of it came in $15, $25, $35, that type of thing. That year, when we finished that project, I told you about a couple of them. You know, I told you the first time that $5,000 one came in from somebody in another country who had never given more than $300 ever, and that was like 2 years before. The one I called, I thought maybe he'd accidentally hit a zero because he did it electronically through the website. I thought maybe he was going to give $500 and accidentally sent $5,000. I don't want to tell that whole story again, but I had to call the guy in the other country. His 15-hour time zone difference. I had to stay up till, I forget now, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, in order to talk to him at 6 in the evening, his time. And then I'd already called his daughter earlier to find out, told her a little bit, so she told him a little bit about why I was calling. So I was explaining to him, saying, "Well, sir, I really appreciate your giving, but I'm concerned. I thought maybe you hit an extra zero. Did you really intend to give $5,000? He says, "Oh, you scared me half to death. I thought maybe I sent $50,000. "Yes, I intended to send $5,000. I said, "Well, I don't want to seem unappreciative or anything, but why so much?" He said, his only answer was, "Oh, I've been saving up." Well, bless God. Hallelujah, you know. I think I told you about the next one that came just a few weeks later, and it was $7,000 from somebody in Florida. I'd made the same phone call to him because it was so unusual. But I didn't tell you about all the rest of them, and I don't think. But see, that continued. We had a $10,000 come. We had a several $2,000s come. We had several $1,000s come. This had never happened, not like this before, not ever. We wound up that year with more income for the year than we did the previous year. But he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He just spoke different amounts to different people than had ever happened before. And I went, again. See, in the very beginning, this stuff is just scary as all get out. But after you've seen him deliver you about 1,000 times over a period of years, even your lightning quick mind goes, maybe he's faithful. Perhaps I can trust these bizarre instructions, you know. You ought to hear what he's talking to me about now. I had to call Jimmy. Jimmy! Could this be God? He said, "Well, does it seem crazy?" I said, "Yeah, well, it probably is." We'll see. I've learned also not to jump into them, though. Again, let me tell you, remind you, his leadership comes like a tree. You know, it does. Now, those little visions, teaching visions, they come like a flash. They really do. I wish they'd come and where I could just, you know, hit rewind and just play them. You know, in a way I can remember them and play them. But boy, they're fast. You got to be. But his ministry and his direction, if you continue to do like Mary and sit at his feet and continue to pray, it just grows like a tree. Now, it's not like a flash. It grows like a tree. And you keep praying. You can't get away from it. And you'll know. You won't be guessing anymore. You'll know, even though it may seem bizarre, it's him. Now, so far, he's never yet stepped out on the real water. But I'm hoping if he ever does, I have enough trust in him to do it. I've stepped out on the financial water, still breathing. In fact, I'll go ahead and finish that story. Now, during the worst of that time, I don't mean it that way. During the most expensive part of that was when we were sending all the cassette tapes. And most of those years we operated debt free, but during that most expensive time, the mailing is what got us. I mean, the postage was running $4,500 a month. That's before you start talking about salary or buying cassette tapes or anything. Well, we went in the hole there some for a few years. He actually turned it around once we obeyed him. Number one, by doing it that way, it greatly reduced our expenses, as you can imagine. Sending 400 messages on a 30-cent piece of plastic. Used to cost me $25 to $30 to mail 6 tapes to the Philippines. 6 messages. I can mail that 400 message DVD for less than $2. Yeah, it affected our expenses, see. Plus, other hard decisions. Because the workload went down, even though we're sending more messages. Now, this is difficult. This is not easy things, but he always blesses. We used to have all three of the daughters working in the ministry, and my son-in-law, Kyle, working in the ministry. But as things changed, you can't just keep... Let me say it this way. I'm not the boss. Those kind of decisions are not really up to me. He always... Kyle doesn't work for us anymore. Okay? And Angie doesn't work for us anymore. Yet the Lord has greatly blessed them where He has put them. They're a blessing and being blessed. But at the same time, I can't just keep people because I want them there. You got that? Sometimes these decisions are hard, especially when they're family. Okay? So those are hard decisions. Other things that we've had to, I say had to do, other things that I felt like He said do. We used to have this wonderful postage machine that we had. Boy, that thing was slick. Because you could print the postage right on there, man. I don't care what size box or anything. Choom, boy, you could put it on there, and that was nice. But now our postage has got down so low, we've gone back to stamps. Well, that thing was costing a lot of money. Their lease on it was a lot. And plus there's a fee, for an extra fee for every time you download postage and everything. Well, these are all expenses. These are things. When He said, I'll help you with the administration of the ministry, these are things that He's talking about. But they come by prayer. None of that ever would have. We wouldn't be debt-free today and actually operating with a surplus every month if I hadn't followed those instructions. But some of them, most of them, seem bizarre. You're going to give everything away free? Yeah. Now we're going to give everything free in one shot? Yeah. Why? He said to. That's all I can tell you. Well, isn't that... Yes, sir. I was recently in my hometown, Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. Shawnee. I was sharing some of these very things very carefully. And when I got to this part about, just like I just told you about giving everything away free, one of the people that I dearly love, one of my closest relatives, said, Gary, we may have stumbled onto a gold mine here. I said, really? Yes. You know, they even sell the Bible. See, that's the way the natural mind works. Not trying to be... They do, don't they? You ever go to bookstore, say, I'd like a free Bible, please. Well, you can probably get one, you know. Anyway, they don't normally say, I mean, that person is right. And what they're saying is, hey, it just makes sense. Sell your stuff. It's a gold mine. Well, a lot of ministries have found that out. Have you noticed? A lot of ministries have found that out. And that person loves God. The person that said that to me loves God. Okay? They're just trying to do things that seem right. And that's the way I grew up, you know. Well, this is what needs to be done. Figure it out. Go do it. And that is a walk that the Lord does bless. Again, you can't even give a cup of cold water in His name and lose your reward for it. It's not that He won't bless that walk. I'm just telling you, that's never going to get us into revival. That kind of thinking where we follow the logic of the natural man is never going to bring us into that water-walking, cancer-healing, get-out-of-the-wheelchair-now type of revival that we're after. And if we can't hear Him and obey Him in the carnal things, how are we going to hear Him and obey Him in the spiritual things? See? I mean, you know, if you can't trust Him with your wallet, you're going to trust Him with your life? I ain't trusting Him with my money, but I'm trusting Him to get me to heaven. Well, He will. You'll take whatever you give Him. In trust, I'm talking. I want Him to have my life. I want Him to have my wallet. I want Him to have whatever. He even wants my body. Gets personal with you. Messes with your Krispy Kreme. Yesterday was my birthday. I had chocolate. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 62. Feel like I'm 33. Feel better than I did when I was 52. I'm telling you right now. Glory to God. But I did. We didn't make it out the other side. If we'd have been on the other side of town, there would have been Krispy Kremes. Never wound up over on that side of town. But I did have some nice Ghirardelli chocolate. Is that how you say it? With peanut butter in it. Didn't even know they made that. Happy birthday. Today... Today, no chocolate. Oh, man, that lion clock. Okay, we've got to get back to this here now. I think he wants to finish this one today. All right, I want to read that paragraph again. It's just too important. And there's only one more left, okay, on his part. Your heart must become more fully developed to trust the Spirit of the living God in order to obey without question instructions that would seem bizarre to man's wisdom. Boy, can I add my testimony. I know every person in here can add their testimony to that. He says, the Son wants you to know. Now, this was really news to me. He said, the Son wants you to know that the time you spent today in fellowship with me and to make yourself more aware of my presence in a more complete way is the most life-changing time you have sown to the Spirit this year. What? What? This was in September. And he said, whatever I did, whatever it was that I did on that day, was the most life-changing thing I had done in 9 months. Now, I'm a guy who goes to, this was in 98. We'd already been going here since 92. I'm a guy at this point who spends hours and hours epoxied to the chair, praying in the Holy Ghost. As in that time, I was assimilating the Word. I was just 30 at a time, 30, you know, going through each book 30 times, reading them. I was doing a lot of things. Wasn't doing hardly any fasting, I'll tell you that right now. But I was just doing all the other parts of the message, okay? Took a long time to get to fasting. But whatever it was I did that day, he said, look at me, read it to you again. It's the most life-changing time you have sown to the Spirit this year. What? I'm going to tell you exactly what it was here in a minute. He says, although it is not apparent to your mind at this point, it will be apparent to your eyes in the future as you see the ministry he has called you to change from being the works of man to being the works of God. How many of you would like to see that change? Whatever it is you're doing to change from being the works, the things that man can do, to being the things only God can do. He says, which can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God. Well done, son, well done. The Son wants you to know he is pleased. And that was the end of that one. That was a short one that day. Well, I'm thinking after that came out of me, it's amazing how often I would hear things and it'd be a total surprise to me. What? I'm thinking, what did I do that he was so, what was it? Well, so I made some notes here just so I wouldn't forget. Since the Spirit, now these are Gary's notes, this is not him talking. It says, since the Spirit said that what I did today was well pleasing to the Son, I want to pass on to you exactly what I did that was different from the past. I took a segment of time and did nothing else during that time but communicate with the Spirit in English. I'm talking about confession. Saying things that agree with what he's already taught me concerning the mindset of Jesus. I still did all of the normal things during my prayer time, including worship, praying in the Spirit, confession, and simply listening at the ear of my Spirit for his voice. But I've done all these things many times in the past. Therefore, he must be referring to that segment of time where I spoke according to the mindset of Jesus. I didn't write any formal confession or anything. I simply read these over and over until I was able to speak according to his mind as he's been revealing it to me. I also incorporated many things from the previous lessons, such as what he's taught me concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Now, to be very specific, during that time, about an hour, which is the time I think he's referring to, I said such things as this. Now, all of this is posted at my website. Okay, if you want to go print you out a copy, this is all there under handling the carnal things. But also something that I didn't have at that time, which is at the website now. There's a document in the face-to-face section called Agreeing with the Mind of Christ. I went ahead and went through that lesson and I just made everything into a positive now present tense confession. So both of those are there for you if you want to do the same thing. I'm giving some examples here before I wrote that, before I made that. So I'm just going to say some of these, and I'm going to ask you to say them right behind me. I don't think you'll have a problem with it. I think you'll see all of these are in line with the Word of God. So I said things like this. Just say after me, Holy Spirit, I know that you are with me. You and I have been sent in the name of Jesus to restore the Father's will in the earth. We are co-laborers together. There is no division between us. I am the vessel of authority Jesus has sent. You are the agent of power to manifest the Father's will in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ has imparted His life unto my spirit when I was born again. You are with me to anoint that life with the dominion of the Father. Without Christ, I can do nothing. But without you, I'll never have His mind. But I have His life within me. And you anoint that life with dominion. Jesus has sent me into the Father's garden to be a vessel through whom the Father can work. To restore the garden to His original intent and purpose. Now when I say that, you know I'm not talking, we know we're not walking through the Garden of Eden. Paul said in one of his letters, you are God's building, you are God's husbandry. Husbandry is another word for garden. See, what's precious to God is the humans, people. You are God's garden. The enemy has brought great ruin to God's garden. You can look anywhere. People are suffering. They're hurting. They're everything from just depression to physical ailments, cancer, on and on and on, cerebral palsy, on and on, everywhere we look. And if left to the normal course of things, even with the best praying that we've done, some of them seem to survive, some of them don't. And we've got a choice. We can either get discouraged and quit, or it can make us mad and say, I'm going to get back in there. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit have His way with me until the will of the Father is done. Because it's not His will that His garden be in such destruction as this. Got me? The Father works by the power of His own Spirit. And I know you are with me to manifest the Father's will. An enemy has done great harm to my Father's garden. I have been authorized by Jesus to drive out the enemy wherever I find him. When I find the enemy, I cast him out with my words, and you drive him out with your power. You keep me in constant communication with the mind of Christ. You bring me the knowledge of His will in every circumstance. I revel in the light of your counsel. I am not walking in the dark. There's no occasion of stumbling as I follow your leadership. Now say this one by faith. You remember Abraham had to call those things that be not as though they were? Okay. I trust you completely. I trust you completely. I trust you completely. And with great confidence, I obey without question every instruction you bring me from the mind of Christ. I have no need to fear, for you are with me. You've come bearing many gifts, to manifest to me whenever I need them. Since you are with me continually, I'm expecting you to manifest the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge to me. By you, I have access to supernatural wisdom regarding the future and supernatural knowledge regarding the present from the Lamb's perspective on the throne. I am constantly in a state of expecting these gifts. You bring me supernatural faith from Christ Himself. There is no such thing as lack of faith with me. Even if I were to come to the end of my faith, you bring me His faith. And I have sufficient faith for every circumstance. Now I'm telling you right now, there is nothing you'll ever hear from God that the devil won't challenge. What was his first words? Hath God said. You start confessing this, and I promise you, you'll come up against circumstances where it looks like you have no knowledge, no wisdom, and no faith to change anything. And there you have a choice. Same choice Adam had. All right, now, whose report shall I believe? Who shall I believe here now? Do I believe what my eyes and my circumstances tell me, which is what Adam did? Or do I continue to trust in the Word of God even though I have no circumstantial evidence to support it? We are going to trust in the report of the Lord our God. We're going to trust what God said no matter how it looks, how devastating. We're going to go forward in Jesus' name. Now say this to the Holy Ghost. Say this to God. Nothing is impossible for me. For you are always with me. Raise your hand. Say, nothing is impossible for me. Because you are always with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now there's another page of those confessions, and then there's more available at the website, but I hope you understand. He said that the time I spent, and at that time I had knowledge of Romans 12:2, but I didn't really have the understanding of it like I do now. See, if we're going to walk different from the world, if we're going to walk like the children really are, which is we're children from another world, then we're going to have to... It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be changed by the renewing of your spirit. No, it took forever for him to get it across to me. He's already done what our spirit has been reborn. He did for us what we couldn't do. But that change comes about as our mind is renewed. It's the renewing of the mind. He cannot do that for us. That's why he said, speaking those things, which all of that sounds crazy to the world. But he said, that's the most important thing. That's the most life-changing hour you have spent this year. Renewing the mind to agree with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.